It's a dope move.
Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game, analysis from the player's point of view, injuries, big trades, player news, sector competition, and he play with Tony Dungy, better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz,
said everything you need and more,
Big Game Sports Buzz.
I thought I told you once before, we call him
Big Game James, Big Game James, Big Game James.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Big Game Sports Buzz here on Big Game Sports Entertainment Network, BGSE Network, where sports and entertainment collide. I am Jay Stocks, the Buff Nerd, and of course, that is Big Game James. What up, dude?
Stocks, what's up, man?
Hey, man, you know what? This is where sports fanatics and pro athletes get together and talk about sports and everything related. I'm doing well, sir.
Good.
I'm doing so well.
Good.
So it's good. I mean, it's good.
I'm excited to be here with you. I know my voice may not sound excited. And I know you're going to give everybody a tease and a rundown of kind of what we're going to talk about tonight.
For sure, man. You know what I'm saying?
Anyone that doesn't know, you can see the flag behind me. You can see the shirt on my chest. The Buccaneers decided to name a starting quarterback by the name of Baker Mayfield.
That's
and I don't know how happy I am about that right now.
That's how we doing now.
You can't hear?
No, I can't. I'm turning me up. Because you're saying it real quiet. Real quiet.
Oh, I'm usually louder than that.
I mean, whenever you're talking about your Bucks, yeah.
Right maybe now, I was just too far away from the microphone, bro. It's all good, man.
Nah, you real quiet, man. You real quiet. Whenever
but we're going to get into that, bro. So,
you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'm a little, you know,
the Cowgirls. But today is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have decided to name a starter.
I don't recall calling your team the Cowgirls, bro. Not recently. That's fair. I said recently.
Chris Cole, good to see you, my guy. Evening.
Oh my God,
you.
Chris, how you been, man? Good to see you. How about the ultimate Bucks fan, Chris Cole, OG, man. He is a great Buccaneers fan, great supporter. Glad to see
good
you
to
on
see
here,
you.
Man.
For sure. Yes, good to see you. Good to have you. And make sure that you continue that chat, Chris, because we're definitely going to have it going tonight. Of course, we'll have the four downs. We'll have Oh Hell Nah. We'll have Between the Lines and the top five tonight is top five female rappers of all time. So it should be fun. Not should be, will be fun. But of course, you can always catch us on YouTube, Facebook, right? You can also check us out on or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, Spotify, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, everywhere else that you listen to it, we're there.
Right there.
Yeah. So make sure that you like, subscribe, share, and smash that bell so you know when BGSE Network podcasts are on. And, of course, Big Game Sports Buzz showing at 8:30 Central Standard Time every Wednesday. Until it's not. But, hey, man, let's get into this, man. That's what we want to do. Yeah. Shots fired always.
Always. All right, man. Well, it's time.
No, Now, look, I got to say this because I am a Texan through and through. This also marks the first week of high school, Texas high school football. So I'm very excited about it. There's some great matchups. So I'm sure where you are, high school football is also starting. So go out and support your local teams, support your people. That's always a good look. Even if they're getting drove by 60 points. Jay,
the crowd went crazy about high school football, bro. They wouldn't calm down. Hey, yes, even if your team gets drove, and if your child is on that team getting drove, don't apparently leave early to go to Whataburger.
Apparently you're supposed to stay. Apparently you are. I don't know. I won't judge you and say you're wrong, but apparently others will.
Jay Styles, I'm gonna say this real quick. I know we gotta keep things moving. I'm excited, man. My son, he's a sophomore at Frisco Emerson High School, and he's going to make his first varsity start, man. And as a dad who played the game, I'm very proud. Whoa. And I'm also a little nervous at the same time, but I think good nervous because he has a great attitude about it. He's got a good work ethic going on about himself right now. And it makes me smile from ear to ear for him to tell me that some of the things that he wants to do because his dad did it. So, you know, shout out to the Emerson Mavericks who are getting ready to take on the Hillcrest, whatever it is. I don't give a damn what the Hillcrest is. But we about to get ready to take on Hillcrest, and I'm excited. I really believe that this is going to be a good season for Emerson, and I'm very, very excited to see what they can do.
Man, that's what's up. You know, I may pack a lunch and a picnic basket, and I may make a ride out there, man.
Friday night. 7:30 p.m. Central Time, Kirkendall Stadium in Frisco, Texas.
Take a ride out there, man. I may do that. I may
come on.
Hey, let's go ahead. Let's get into this because look, your boy Jimmy Harden, man. Okay, James Harden was fined $100,000 by the NBA because he is openly talking about or publicly talking about trades and being traded. Now, we know in the news that other players and athletes have hinted through their agents and people that they wanted to be traded, but they've never really come out and said, I want to be traded. James Harden came and did this, apparently, and NBA has said, you cannot do that. That goes against the trade policy. Do you think this is fair?
How about that? Jay, this is my thing, man. We know, we spoke on the last show, James Harden and Dolan's relationship is ruined there in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
A clause is a clause, a policy is a policy. But if you don't want to be somewhere, you shouldn't have to, right? I mean,
right.
You did sign the contract. You did re-opt to stay in. They re-signed. But it's getting to a point where it's going to be toxic. The NBA does do a better job sometimes of corralling, keeping things you know, tight-lipped and in-house. So I think they want to always portray this great image of you know, how they do things. And the players do a pretty good job of staying tight-lipped and not saying anything. But if James Harden wants to come out and speak on who he might want to play for and not play for the 76ers, me personally, I don't have a problem with it because nothing that James Harden does surprises me. Nothing he says, nothing he does makes me go, damn, James Harden said this? And he's like, damn, I knew James Harden was going to say this.
Right.
So it doesn't surprise me that he's speaking against it. He's going to continue to try to buck the system. And he's looking at this money that they're finding him. He's probably laughing. Like, it probably is, it's not going to really hurt his pocketbook.
No.
Didn't he steal like $37.5 million last year?
Yeah. Did you say he stole it?
If you say you go to church, I know it hurt.
Did you just say he stole $37 million?
No, I said he stole $37 million.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. It sounded like he stole it.
Yeah, I said he stole it.
Yeah, you say he stole it. I mean, he's forced his way out of Houston. He forced his way out of New York, of Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
You know, and now he's trying to force his way out of Philly. So here's the other question. You know, I don't think it's fair. I mean, hey, if you want to be traded, you know, you can go ahead and say it. Now Philly can say, well, that's cool, you can say it, but we're not going to trade you. You sign the contract and you will be here. And if not, you're voiding the contract. And I'm sure they're trying to figure out a legal way to, you know,
get some of that bread back.
Exactly.
You know,
fines or whatever, because hey, they're paying you for your performance and you're not performing. I think a lot of it has to do with him seeing that Philly is just not set up to win a championship.
Well, is he the reason they're not set up? I mean, Joel Embiid went on an MVP type run last year. Did they not do anything in the preseason or the draft that could help add to that? Or is he too busy worrying about his feelings?
Those are all good questions. Those are all great questions. I think a lot of it has to do with, coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it had to do with the GM. I think they had, or at least I thought they had, a good, solid team. Could they win out? Embiid was hurt. Embiid has been hurt every season. Now, towards the end, he got better, you know, as far as health-wise. But I don't know. I don't know if James Harden is a reason why you win a championship or why you don't win a championship.
No, he's not. A couple years, some years back, I think James Harden could have been, could have been that guy. Now, here's a question I'm gonna ask you. It just popped in this cranny in my mind. Is he continually doing things in the media to keep himself relevant? Does James Harden feel like his game is not relevant enough?
Wow. I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
I would think that his game is. Now look, he's not. I'll be honest and say this. I don't think that James Harden is a top. I don't think he's a top 10 player in the league.
Now or ever?
Now.
Okay. Agreeable.
I think at one point in time, definitely in Houston,
early OKC.
He was a. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he was a six man, but I think when he went to Houston and really broke out, I think he was a top 10 player then.
Okay.
Or could at least be considered. Now,
mm-mm.
I don't think he's a top 10 player looking at the players that are in the league at this point. When you look at Boston, when you look at Phoenix, when you look at LA, when you look at, you know, Dallas, when you look at Denver, when you look at Milwaukee, I mean, and these are just teams I'm talking about, but you can talk about Giannis, you can talk about Luka, you can talk about Brown and Tatum, and I mean, and Booker, you know, you can say what you want to about Booker, but you know, and of course, Joker and Murray, I mean, dude, where do you put Harden? Do you put him there above them or in that same mix? So you got to put him above
Dame Lillard.
And Dame Lillard, you know. So, yeah, I think there's definitely something there where should he have gotten fined? I don't think so, but I understand why they did it. I think they're trying to curb.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think they're trying to curb players from openly saying they want to be traded, right? Yeah, everyone knows, like with LeBron and D-Wade deal, they were talking to each other and they mentioned things like, I really would like to play with so-and-so.
Right. It'd they never said, I want to be traded to that team. But it was different too because it was free agency, Jay.
Yeah, true.
It was free agency. True. So the thing is, does James Harden stop there or does he keep on publicly doing it to see if he can get what he wants?
I mean, at this point, you got to look at it from the Phillies standpoint, the Sixers standpoint, and say, is keeping him worth the toxic locker room and the toxicity that it can bring? Because I would ask you, if you have a teammate that does this, how are you looking at them?
man, at some point in time, you gotta shut up and play, dog. Like, ain't got, and the thing is, he's been around long enough. Mm-hmm. So early on, younger players, or you can usually grab their ear because they don't know better. But when you got other guys on that same team that's been around that know what the goal is supposed to be and what you want to get done, you get sick of it. Like,
yeah,
you know, you get sick of the stars in the locker room arguing with each other if the common goal is supposed to be to win a championship, right? It's like, at some point in time, get over yourself, man. We got to make this about the goal of the team. And this is hard to do as a professional athlete, Jay, because at the end of the day, you're still an independent contractor. You're trying to get all the money you can while you can, but still try to help achieve a team goal. Everybody wants you to have this team rah-rah mentality, but it's hard to do that when money comes to be a part of it. And I'm not saying James Harden is complaining or asking about money, but the fact that he makes the amount of money that he does, it makes him think differently about himself and what he can and can't say about his organization. And that's really what it comes down to. And I've seen it in the locker room with people. You've seen it where you're working to build things, you get going, and next thing you know, you're like, say, dog, man, hey, I don't even know why a coach is doing this, man. You know, if we had so-and-so as a coach, it'd be different. We definitely would go to the Super Bowl.
You're like, wow, bitch,
you still got a chance to make the playoffs. Talk about a Super Bowl with somebody else. What you doing? Why? And it happened, bro. I mean, you look at that like, yeah, I'm just saying, though. I mean, watch, man. If they make a move, it's going to be good. I mean, I don't even know why they got that fool on the team. They should cut his ass, dog.
Yeah.
And you was just hanging with the same dude last night. Talking about, hey, dog, we're going to get this done together. Yeah, you going to somebody else talking. I was like, man, I'm going to slide over here in my corner, sit here and be quiet, bro. It's bad sometimes. And that's James Harden's going to create that toxicity that you got to get rid of. I think you do.
Right. Right. And the NFL, I mean, you got, you know, 53-man roster plus, you know, whereas, you know, NBA is 12 people.
Right.
Right. And so it's very easy. I won't say easy. It's easier, I would think, for that toxicity to spread quickly, more quickly.
Yeah, because cancer don't have a whole lot of where to go. It's going to snatch on to everybody.
Right. Yeah, but I mean,
to put that stuff.
Yeah, but I would even think, you know, even still in the NFL locker room, it still spreads, you know, like wildfire. It's still a small community, right? And so if one person saying, you know, they said it to someone else and someone else that they've been in their ear, you know, hey, you know, what do you think about this? Or I think that. So, yeah, I think that's a big issue. Mm-hmm. Man, we could be there for a minute. Let's move on, though, to that second down. Apparently, John Rahm has come out and has stated that golf fans, the people that are in the gallery while they're playing, are betting on the players to either make or miss shots. And it is becoming an issue. Now, you play golf. You've played golf before, and I played golf.
Not very well, but I played it. Yes,
we played it. You know, we've chased the ball around. Do you think that this is going to become, or this should be an issue? And really, the way I posed this was: should fans be allowed to talk while players are hitting?
Hey, man, you know when you posed this question to me, the first thing I thought about was Happy Gilmore. Don't know why. I believe. You should allow certain holes to be like the heckle hole. Like you get to a hole and it can just be no holes bar. Like as soon as they get ready to play the ball, it's like Rory McIlroy needs to make this for birdie. He has his chance to win. He's up. He goes back. And just with an air horn on his ass to mess him up in that backswing, though. It would be lovely. It'd be lovely. No. If people in the gallery are betting on the hole and what's going on,
yeah.
How does that become an issue? I mean, golfers want it so silent. Every other sport besides golf and bowling, fans are yelling and acting an ass throughout the entire game.
Yes.
So why is it if you're as good as you say you are,
yes,
you need that much concentration? Play through the noise. Play through it.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. That's when I read this story. It's on ESPN.com, but it was one of those that kind of grabbed my attention when I saw it. And I said, you have players that are actually the fans, and the fans are close. You know, let's not get it twisted. Fans are right on the players, so yeah. They're within earshot, right? And so they can say, hey, and they turn to their friend, and I bet you $10 he misses his birdie. Well, I bet you $20 he'll make this birdie, right? And so what he's saying is, hey, I can hear that. And so that affects him when he's playing. And I'm like, really?
Don't you think that's a little petty, Jay?
I think that's a lot of petty. I think that's a lot of petty because I know when I play with my people, I get all kinds of stuff done to me. But those are my boys. I mean, that's,
Yeah. Yeah,
but I'm just saying, you're right. Every other sport, less diving,
stop it, James. I'm loving it. Is it hard to dive? Yes, but diving is not a spec. Shut up. Yep.
I like cheering, right? You don't yell when they cheer. Actually, people do yell when they cheer because they're cheering. It's a sport, right?
It's a sport.
Just saying. I think it's a lot of petty. I think, if you want to get more fans involved with the game, I think you should, or PGA and LIV should figure out some way to have more fan engagement involvement.
I'm telling you, the heckling hole, I'm going to write a proposal and send it in.
I like it. I'm down for it.
And maybe just make it like the seventh hole.
Yeah. Not the 18th or the 9th. Yeah. Yeah, nothing on the back nine, but maybe, early in the hole, maybe third or fourth.
And that first, about the seventh hole, fifth, sixth or seventh hole. Have it be the heckle hole. And maybe there at a par three with some water in the play or something like that.
Oh, that's good.
Let them act a dunk.
Yeah, yeah. And have them all at the you can have it on the island. Right. And all the fans will be on the other side and they can just heckle all they want to.
What if it was a hole you could throw objects at the ball while it's in the air?
No, sir. No. You can't do that. No changing of trajectory.
I just got crazy.
Of the ball. But I do like the heckle hole. We need to submit that. Something that we're starting to see, and actually I'm gonna switch this. So Messi. We're going to do that in third now. Messi taking over the MLS and MLS saying, hey, you teams, when you play Messi, you need to cash in on this. Every time Messi has played any team in the MLS, it is sold out. When he came and played.
Three times the price.
Three times and was still sold out.
Still sold out. Nosebleeds.
Yeah, when he played New York. Sold out, and he's scoring. It's not like he's just like Beckham, who's like, whatever. He's actually
Beckham did well. Like a farewell tour, showed his face, ran up and down the field for about 15 minutes, and got on the game. Messi out there balling, dog.
Hey, and pushing folks like he's like, let me show you this beautiful game, man. I'm telling you, he's pushing cats down, people getting upset, they ready to fight Messi. But I think this is a good thing. Absolutely. I think it is a good thing. And it's interesting that MLS is coming out publicly and saying, hey, teams, you need to take advantage of this. You need to take advantage of this as long as you can because he won't be here long.
That's the truth. And that's the right way to look at it because, Jay, think about it. Soccer is big in this country. It's growing.
Mm-hmm.
But for some of these stadiums to be filled to capacity – in ways that has never happened in their existence is miraculous. And the money they can make from it to help support what they're doing and how they do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to keep it rolling. They've got to keep it rolling.
I think the other part of it is, I think there's two things with that's wrong with MLS. Number one, and it goes back to golf. What's up, Big Wallace? Good to see you, man. I think stop it. I think one of the things is, number one, you have to have engagement, fan engagement.
Yes.
How do you get out in the public so that people see soccer players? I think one of the other things, too, is, you know, a soccer player could be standing next to you in a grocery store and they just look regular as hell. Like, oh okay, yeah.
Yeah, very true, because I remember I took my kids to the barbershop a while back, and mm-hmm. this young man came in, and he had to talk, and I was like, hey, man, what you do? Who you play for? What sport you play for? Who? Because, you know, you talking, you have whatever. He said, oh, man, I play for FC Dallas. Da-da-da-da-da. Man, he looked like he was behind the ears, fresh out of school somewhere. I had no way, shape, or form that this kid played professional. But, yes. And you're right. Yes. Like, you can go somewhere, be around someone, and if it's not that, you know, a household face, you don't know. It's easy to overlook, I think, a lot of those guys that play a game that are very talented athletes.
Yes. Yes. So I think you have, you know, that part of it, the engagement, you have them on a billboard, but I mean, who cares? I mean, there has to be some type of engagement within the community, within the area, that gets people excited to say, oh, I know this guy or whatever. But the second thing, too, is what they do in the European leagues is relegation. You need to have relegation. If your team sucks, they need to go to a lower league. And what that should promote is better play. Them going out and getting better players for better play.
Wow. That's okay. Now, but does MLS have enough leagues for teams to be relegated?
I believe they do. There's actually two other professional leagues. There's the, I believe it's USFL or USL or something like that. It's like the United States Soccer League or something like that. But there's like two other leagues that they have.
And are they affiliated with MLS?
Not at present. So that's part of it, too, is saying that, hey, you know, they need to consolidate, because as soccer is growing in this country, it's not that big.
Mm.
And I think this will help for it to do so, because, look, baseball is not as big as it used to be. Right. Football is king. Basketball is, you know, second. Hockey is kind of a niche. Hockey is still a niche sport.
Yeah.
Right. It's still a niche sport. MLS can be that. You have enough people from all over the place, all over the world that live here. Why not? Why not? So that's my two cents. That's my raven.
Massey, keep it up. MLS, keep charging the hell out of them tickets, man, for the people. Yes. People, yeah,
put it on TV.
Chance of a lifetime. Go see Messi.
Put it on TV. Yeah, put it on TV. All right. So at this point, hey, look, you know what time it is, man.
We only did three downs.
We did. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It's time for the fourth down. That's what it is. It's time for the fourth down. More starters are playing preseason games than before. Yeah, exactly. We've seen Patty Mahomes playing two games. Brock Purdy made his debut this past preseason weekend. We've seen the Jets starter, Douche Dodgers, get out there. Geno Smith. Well, actually, no. Rodgers is playing this preseason. He's going to play the last game of the preseason. But I mean, we're starting to see a lot more of the starters. Is there a trend now that's kind of reversing of not playing the starters?
No.
No?
We've seen a few, but we're still more than not. They're letting the young guys get most of the action, the tape and stuff that they need to maybe be seen later on by other people. Certain teams are, certain teams aren't. It's going to believe, to me, I think it's going to come down to coaches and general managers' belief system. Do they believe that they benefit more from keeping the guy out or getting the reps they need to get that practice? I mean, look, Dak's in midseason form throwing picks in practice, and he didn't
play. I knew you were going to say that. I
And so your quarterback's not playing. Maybe should play.
He should.
I believe it's mental. I believe if Dak was to have some bad throws in the preseason, the Cowboys are worried that it will affect him to carry over into the regular season. So I think
he shouldn't play.
Mental clarity, they don't put him in the preseason.
He shouldn't play. He should not be in the league. If your psyche is that fragile, where if you're in preseason and you throw picks in preseason,
mm-hmm.
why are you playing the game?
Now that's total speculation, Jay. I've talked to no one to validate that, but you know,
it's
worse for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Had his psychiatric help to help him deal with being moved from right to left tackle. And the man's an all pro. So,
yeah.
Hey, man, kids these days are a little different. Great player.
And maybe that's the issue, man. And you know,
I was moving him, but they did. So, how do you deal with it? I mean, I got to talk to somebody. I got anxiety about playing on the other side. And now, I've heard different guys tell me that that's a monster. Going from that, you know, that right to that left side.
True.
Wow. But yeah. It also depends on the scheme that you're playing in. Go ahead and read that from Wallace if you need to.
No, yeah. I mean, he echoes your exact sentiments. You know, it depends on what the head coach wants to do with their starters. Yeah. Mike McCarthy is one of those that doesn't believe in playing his starters in the preseason. He has shown that. But
don't need to be a head coach no more.
It's facts. Big facts. But what I'm saying is, when I see coaches that do that, you know, the first three games of a regular season is like the preseason.
It is, and that's why football is very ugly and sloppy the first 3 weeks.
And I'm sorry, but here's the issue with that. A lot of times you're playing divisional games.
Yeah, the league wrong for that, bro. I've always said that, Jay. I do not believe that you should have a divisional game within the first 3 weeks of the season. I think that's bullshit. I just do not think that you should open up division rival week one. I just don't think it's right. Even if the starters played the whole preseason. I've never liked that. Even back when I played, I didn't want to open up with Green Bay and Lambeau or with Minnesota and Minneapolis. You know what I'm saying? Back when it was the NFC Central.
Here's what I say to that game as a fan. Preseason is done. It's time to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't matter who you play, who's in front of you. Now, I get why you don't want to play a divisional game at the beginning because you're going to see them again.
Right.
I get that.
I mean, we can talk more about that when we get to the four downs, bro. I don't want to. But
yeah, they didn't used to do that back in the day. Yeah. No.
Wallace, they're changing everything. And you know what make them change it? That almighty dollar.
Well, I mean, of course, it all goes back to that. But again, I still say you play who's in front of you. And if that means that it's your divisional rival, then that's what it is. Everyone knows when the season starts, where everyone knows who you're playing that season, who you got. Why would you not have your starters ready day one of the regular season?
Because you think I'm saving them and preventing injury, yet there's no chemistry being built in live game situations. You can mimic so much in a practice.
Yeah.
You need them live. I mean, I don't know, man. My whole thing is death to all this bullshit where you can't play. I got a quick cussing. Sorry. I got work. You must have got a bet starting tomorrow. And I'm gonna have to buy him something. Watch. lo and behold, though, Jay, if something's got to give, to the starters that are playing, good job. Congratulations. I appreciate you. Now, am I saying starters play a whole game in the preseason? Nah.
No.
Get a quarter in. Get multiple series in so you can get used to it. Like, to me, Deshaun Watson came out the first two games, didn't play a whole lot at all. You missed 11 games, you know what I'm saying, last season. It came to like, holy hell. But we've seen the talent that Deshaun Watson has. To me, if he gets the work that he needs to get with Amari Cooper, he may look like the Deshaun Watson of old. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's, stupid.
Well, you know what it makes me say?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Hit the button. Because
I'm done. Oh, hell no. 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 Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
That's right. This is the part of the show where we, part of the cast, where we talk about things that make us say, oh, hell no. Now, Game, do you have one this week?
Oh, yes, I do.
Man, go for it, sir. All you. You can go single shot with that one.
Oh, all right. Well, let me get this thing ready. You know, I say so often that in life, there's choices, decisions, and consequences. And needless to say that a certain franchise has always been known to have players that like to do things that breaks the law. This one, now, this time, happened by Dallas Cowboys defensive end, Sam Williams. Yes, Sam Williams. The team broke camp this past week, flew back to Dallas early Monday or Sunday morning, whatever you want to call it, that weekend. Sam Williams decided to go out, drive a little fast. He was arrested for possession of a controlled substance and unlawful carrying of a weapon. You just get back in, camp breaks, and lo and behold, you got to be a dummy about what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we used to break camp. When camp break, and we got a chance to leave those dorms and go back to the comfort of our homes, we went out and had a little fun. You didn't have too much fun. You didn't drink and drive. You didn't carry a gun with you. You know what I'm saying? Come on, controlled substance. I mean, yeah. Sam Williams came back and acted a fool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
Multiple charges. Yeah.
No.
It's like multiple charges, man.
They have high hopes and expectations for this second-year defensive end out of Ole Miss. And he showed flashes last year of being a talented player that can get things done. They need him in situational pass rush situations, I think. And to do this, that means, come on, dog, what do you care about more? Having a good time or having a career? Because we know this thing can be short-lived if you become known as a guy that makes bad mistakes. And it only opens up the door for them to dig into you a little bit more.
Yeah, and with Sam Williams, here's the issue with that. He has a history of this. He actually has a history of driving too fast and has had multiple tickets and run-ins with Plano police. As a matter of fact, it's cited that he had a ticket of going 100 miles per hour in a 55. So. Yeah, my dude needs to slow it down. He needs to slow it down. This is not a good look. He was involved in an accident last December.
That's right. He hit an old man driving.
Yeah. Which his car was total. And and then again, of course, like I said, that month later he was cited for reckless driving, going 100 miles in a 55 mile per hour zone. Weaving in and out of traffic. So, I mean, look, Sam, we need you, brother. We need you. Just calm it down, man. I know you. We need you, man.
We need the streets to be safe, Sam. I drive these streets in the area where you like to speed and act a fool. I want to get home safely to my peoples. Slow your ass down.
That part. All right, let's go ahead and let's get it down into Between the Lines. So as we get into, wow, that was quick. As we get into the end of the preseason.
That was real quick, bro.
Jeez. Let me take a swig, golly. As we get into the end of this preseason, the final game, look, there's some definite news that's been coming out. First thing we want to tackle, many that couldn't, Jonathan Taylor has been allowed by the Indianapolis Colts to go ahead and talk to teams about a possible trade. Big deal? Not a big deal? What say you?
I think it just clearly shows that this relationship is beyond repair. The only thing I fear for Jonathan Taylor is the asking price is going to be beyond high from the Indianapolis Colts, and no team is going to give them what they want, and he's going to be forced to stay there in a sense to where they're like, well, we let him seek a trade. No one gave us anything. You know, they know how to play the game, bro.
Yeah.
The owner, Jim Irsay, already said, no one's going to remember you one day when you're gone. Just be quiet and do what you need to do, in a nutshell. And they're going to play the game. They're going to say the right things. I don't think that they really have any intention on trading him, and I believe it's going to be – unless they ask for something astronomical and someone gives it to them. And, Jay, we talked about it before. The way the running back position is being devalued, do you really see someone giving up a whole lot for Taylor?
No, I don't. Especially at this point of the season, rosters are pretty much set, right? These are final cuts that we're getting into, which means, you know, you got to look at how much you got, you know, and then where was he fit? And this is a starting running back. This is not a guy that's going to back up. This is a starting running back. So unless you are depleted at that position, and I don't know too many teams that are depleted at that position where they're actively looking for a starting running back,
right,
with that price tag,
right,
or a potential price tag. I mean, he's on his final year of his rookie contract, which means he's going to look for an extension, which has put him in this situation as it is. That's tough. That's really, really tough.
And no one's going to sign him for that 1 year. I mean, that's like a 1 year rental.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something the Colts know. They know that not many teams will, hey, man, let's give all this up. And you got him for one season, and you're not guaranteed that he's going to sign back with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that part. And then if you try to franchise tag him, it's just a whole mess, man.
Game set and match.
I think this
Colts said.
Yeah, it's gonna be a thing. I hate it for him because I think he's a great running back, he's a great talent, but because of that position and how devalued it has become in the NFL, he is where he is. And I applaud him for taking a stand, but yeah, he may be that one that has to take that sacrifice. Make that sacrifice. Sam Darnold, the new QB2 in San Francisco. Mm. So what does that mean for Trey Lance?
I mean, I hate this whole situation, man. No, I mean, dude, don't get it wrong, Jay.
I said this when they drafted him.
The NFL is a tough business. We know that. It's not hard to be a franchise. I mean, it's not easy to be a franchise quarterback. That's hard. To give up what you did to move up in the draft to get him.
That part.
Not really groom him and help get him ready. I mean, because think about it. Everyone feels like, well, he didn't have that many passes in college. If you look at how he played and when he came to this, he moved from this to quarterback. When he got to North Dakota State, he didn't do blah, 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 blah. Then why the hell did you draft him when you did? Why the hell was the ceiling projected to be so high on this kid? And here it is. It's totally mishandling the mismanagement of a first-round draft pick. To where now, after the injury and being beat out by Mr. Irrelevant, and then by Mr. I throw the ball to the other team every time I get a chance to be the quarterback, too.
Sam Darnold.
Right on the wall that they're going to shop him. And if you're already moving him to three, no one else is going to want him. He's eventually about to be cut. And no one's going to give him a chance. We know quarterbacks like this don't get a lot of do-overs. They'll let Chase Daniels go hold a clipboard for 20 years in the league and make millions of dollars of being a backup. But someone like Trey Lance will never really get another chance probably to be groomed and made into a competitive quarterback to see if he ever even really had it. And everyone will just automatically label him a bust. And this sucks.
You know where he could go? And I'm being said, there are two places that I think of that he could go. I think he may have a chance in Seattle or Denver.
Really?
I think it's possible if you have two quote-unquote quarterback whisperers in Pete Carroll and Sean Payton, that may be a good landing spot for him.
And there's no pressure on him, huh?
And there's no pressure on him. There's no pressure on him. And you can learn from veteran quarterbacks that are similar to some of the things that he does. I think that would be a good landing spot for him.
Not bad.
But as far as, yeah, San Francisco, it's done.
It's done. It's a wrap, man. And yeah, it's a wrap. This is yeah. And they'll settle it on, well, you know, it just didn't really work out and they do this and then do that. But did you really put him in the right situation to succeed? Or was he that bad in practice? Because early on, y'all sold all the Wolf tickets on why he was good enough to move up in the draft and get. And now you backpedaling. You look like a goddamn DB.
But think about it like this. If he's in practice and he's playing preseason, you got McCaffrey and you got Debo and you got Kittle. You got a squad.
But he had
him, and you got a defense. Him.
Purdy got the number one reps. It was like, job to win back. They said he didn't lose no job because of injury. The starters even said it. So who's Lance throwing to and throwing with? Them dudes on the bubble that's going to be going, bouncing around the camps and then playing indoor football league in a couple years.
I get that. But before Trey Lance got hurt and before Garoppolo took over, it was Trey Lance's to lose. So, my thing is this.
But he broke the ankle when he had a chance to be the man to lose it. It's like the first game of the season, he broke his ankle.
He broke his ankle, yes. But once he came back, and yeah, you see Brock Purdy, and you see, I mean, look, Garoppolo, here's my thing. And this is why I say the starters acted the way they did, right, and gave the impression that they did is because they saw him every day. They saw him every day. As well as, you know, management saw him every day. And he did not impress. And there's something to be said there, I think. There's something to be said.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you about it, man. It's a very good point, valid point. you know, we all entitled to our opinions, and I feel you. It's just... Jay, I've seen it too many times.
Yeah.
You get the rolling in the league. San Fran had the defense they had. Their offense was successful with the other two quarterbacks. When Trey Lance came back, it wasn't going to be no way he was getting on that damn field. And with the ankle, he wasn't going to be stable 100% anyway. That's why they went in with two damn quarterbacks was broke up in the game against the damn Eagles. I mean, he never had
a real comeback.
I don't give a damn what they say, what you would say.
Yeah.
You could have got it back. No, they was never going back to that. No. Then I've been around him. Oh, shit, he got hurt. These motherfuckers are balling. We good. Let's go.
Throw McCaffrey in there. He can do it. I heard he threw balls in high school.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So,
And that's what it is. Speaking of throwing balls in high school and unbelievable turn of events, there's a new QB in Tampa Bay, and he goes by the name. What's his name? Bradford. What's his name? What's that OU quarterback name?
That's what we're doing, dog. His name is Baker Mayfield.
That's right. Baker Mayfield has been named the starting quarterback for big games, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I can't stop smiling. I don't know why.
I can tell, man. You're excited to have this conversation.
I'm excited.
First and foremost, I'm not mad that Baker Mayfield's named the starting quarterback.
What happened to Trask?
I'm mad because I don't really think that Kyle Trask had a legitimate chance. They said that they were going to play for the job. It was an open competition. Baker started get preseason game one. Trask would come in. Trask start preseason game two. Then Baker will come in, and then we'll go from there. Kyle Trask clearly outperformed him in practice. Baker Mayfield threw almost 10 interceptions in all the combined practices in training camp. Kyle Trask threw one pick against the Steelers in week one. In week two, preseason against the Jets, had some phenomenal throws. Trey Palmer was a steal for us in the fifth round. This young man out of Nebraska is playing his butt off right now. Going to be a great number three since Russell Gage got hurt. But it's almost like all the right things were said, but it was written that Baker was going to be that dude anyway. And, Jay, the thing I got out of somebody from Tampa the other night is the Caleb Williams sweepstakes starts. They believe that it is a plotted move for Tampa to go with Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
To hopefully be in position to get Caleb Williams next
Caleb year. Williams.
Now, me as a competitive person, knowing that organization, loving that organization, I don't want to believe that. But to hear what was said and then see what was done
makes you think.
Boy, it, you know,
makes you think. I mean, look, NFC South is down anyway. NFC South is down. And right now, it's a fight between Atlanta and New Orleans.
Damn, you just jumped the Falcons over us like that? You know, we're the reigning NFC South champs, bro.
I hear what you're saying, and those are facts. I hear what you're saying. Those are facts. But I'm going to tell you what I see.
But do this. You say, I hear you, but...
Exactly.
Hold on real quick.
Let's pump them brakes. Because they are the reigning, yes, you're the Tampa Bay is the reigning NFC South champs right now. But once that season starts with what Atlanta has done and the moves they made with New Orleans and what they're possibly able and capable of doing, I don't see Carolina is a dumpster fire. Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield now as your starter. Not giving Trask the opportunity to really work with the ones. And let me be honest with you, man, that defense, I'm not seeing it coming out of that defense. And so, I don't see them stopping anyone. I don't see anyone.
Strong. Devin White will get it. Is going to be getting together. Vita Vea. Up front.
Well, I mean, Devin White got to get out of his church lady, you know what I'm saying? You know, and he'll be out here, man.
You know, first round draft pick, and we got a steal in Yaya Diaby, who I think will probably end up being, man, and Joe Tryon Shank has got to turn it on. Tampa's defense, I believe, will be better than what people think because we had a lot of injuries in that secondary last year. I think we'll be fine this year, but we are going to have a beyond great run game to help establish.
And y'all don't have that.
Did you hear what I'm saying? We're going to need that, Jay. I didn't say Sean White is good. You know,
Sean White is good.
Drake is going to be fine. Man, look, dog, it's not going to be easy. It's like going uphill on a sheet of ice in church shoes. I know this. But hey, it is what it is. And, you know, when I was laughing and teasing and messing with you and Trey last night on Cowboys Cutting Up, it's just clearly like, We say, oh, we're going to do things the right way. We're going to give guys a chance. And then your boy Trask, why was he drafted in the second round? Did you see? I mean, you really got to go back to some of the things he did at the University of Florida that did impress some people. And you watch him. He's a mobile quarterback. He can actually run the ball when he needed to. He can throw it.
Yeah.
And Baker Mayfield, he runs to get open. Trask can run to run if he needed to, which he doesn't get a lot of credit for. But I don't believe he got it. Man, I don't know. It's just something about Baker got a rabbit's foot in his pocket, bro. He keep getting more and more chances. So
I don't know. I think there may be some validity to that that Caleb Williams lottery, man.
I hope I'm wrong. I don't want us to do good enough to get Caleb Williams. Because that means we had a shit season, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very bad.
Horrible season. Is Baker
and like I said,
it depends on the situation. If we have a decent running game, he doesn't have to throw the ball a lot. He's not a big ball downfield passer. Mike Evans has never complained in his career since he's been in Tampa. Jay, this might be the season that Mike Evans is displeased and unhappy. I'm just saying. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But my instincts from being around the game, watching the game, and talking to other people around the situation is it's going to be some turmoil from some of our big-name players. I mean, you got to find a way with somebody who can throw the ball to Godwin and Evans and be able to utilize Palmer, who I think is going to be a good number three, and Watkins, who's also having a great camp right now, who will probably make the team this year, who didn't have a chance. Just who gets them the ball? Baker Mayfield doesn't throw the best long ball, downfield ball. We know that.
No. That's going to be tough, man. That's going to be tough. Look, let's go ahead and make sure that you check out Pewter Perspective here on BGSC Network. It's some more nuggets that he's going to drop, especially for that NFC South. And seeing who's going to come in third place after Atlanta and New Orleans.
Hey, man, next Wednesday, right before Big Game Sports Buzz comes on, you can catch me, Big Low, my man Q, and David Rashad from Panther Nation Podcast doing our NFC South roundtable. It's going to be fire. It will be.
That's going to be nice.
A great show. And they're going to have a lot to say. But Baker being named quarterback, I might not even have my face on camera that show. I just want to tell y'all what's
up. Oh, you better have it on.
But I know it's time, Jay. So let me get this rolling so you can break down for the people what it is we do in this segment, man.
Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go.
That's right. Some people have a top 100. Some have a top 50. Some have a top 25. Some even punk out and have a top 10. But here at Big Game Sports Buzz on BGSC Network, no, sir, no, ma'am, top five. Who's in? Who's out? No honorable mentions tonight. Top five. Yeah, that's for you, Big Game. Top five female rappers of all time. This is going to be good.
Wow.
It's a tough list.
Man.
It's a tough list.
I have some on here, and I might change as I go. You know, we've done rappers, we've done rap groups, we've done rap duos, but I think it was time to pay homage to, you know, the ladies of rap, the females of rap, who hold it down.
Ladies first.
But I'm gonna go ahead and kick off what I think, and you know, you may not like it, but it is me. It's my list. First and foremost, I'm gonna do a Jay Stocks. No order on this list. So I got MC Light.
Let's go.
Queen Latifah. The Brat. Let me make sure I'm right. MC Light, Queen Latifah, The Brat. Lil Kim. And y'all don't get the swollen face, big thighs, fake booty injection, look like a rotisserie chicken, Little Kim in your mind. Think back to the Little Kim with Junior Mafia.
Yes.
All right.
So you messing with the B, huh?
Mm-hmm. And then my last one. This is tough. Hey, what if I had a tie?
No.
That's a lot.
Five. It's not top six. It's top five.
All right, man. See? I'm going to go with Nicki.
Well, I say what I said.
I like Nicki. I just think when Cardi B came out, she started falling off. But I think if you go back and listen to some of the things, some of the bars and rhymes of Nicki Minaj, I like her. I put her up there in my top five.
There you go. Listen, you know what's crazy? We're pretty much on the same page here, man. MC Light, Lil Kim, Queen Latifah, Nicki Minaj. we're all there. I'm there with you.
Really?
Okay. The brat was a little okay. That threw me.
You think that was a reach?
I think that's a reach. I think that's a reach there. Have
you listened
for to me? Funk? It's Missy Elliott.
Oh shit!
I think Missy Elliott. A lot of people sleep on her, but she's one of those female artists that, dude, she can move a crowd like nobody.
Man, she changed things too. That's, hey man, I knew it. I knew it was gonna happen when I was doing this list. Hey, kudos to you on that one.
Pull one out. Super Duper Fly was one of those records that,
bro, I can't stand the rain. Oh boy.
She was in the trash bag, bro. Like, yo, that's fly.
It definitely
changed the game, man. I mean, sure. Yeah. Missy Elliott is my one there, but I think this was a hard list. I'm not even gonna lie to you, man. I have scratch outs all over the place. And I was like, but the longevity and I like it, but is that really a top five? But yeah, we'll talk off cast about the rest of that list. Make sure that you put in the comments the ones that you love that are in your top five. But yeah, that's a good one. Top five female rappers of all time. Yo, I'm Jay Stoggs, the Buff Nerd. Let's go.
Yes, sir. And I'm your boy, Big Game James. Thank you all for tuning in. Please make sure that you like, subscribe, smash that bell, and check out every show that's on BGSE Network. Tomorrow night, you'll have Philly Sports and Craft Beer from Two Birds in One Show. Until next time, man, y'all be easy. Peace.
Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the